Matthew 5:14, this is Sermon on the Mount, more perfectly, part 8, ye are the light of the world, verse 14. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, because our standard plan here has been to compare the Gospels or compare the Sermon on the Mount with Paul, then obviously the question we get it, we pick up here, and I'm not trying to always be different. I'm not trying to be that way at all, or negative, or everything contradictory. But what does Paul say about the light of the world? Is it us? Look at John chapter 3, verse 19. And let me ask a couple of questions that I know that you're asking yourself. John chapter 3, verse 19. Here we are, Wednesday night. We're asking about, are we the light of the world, or are the Jews the light of the world? What's the light of the world? What does Paul say? And all I could think of when I started writing this thing up was, who cares? Is it getting to be, so what? You know, for example, John 3:19. Sure, it's in John, and it's a gospel thing, but it seems to be similar today. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Okay, so what's different about that and today? Whatever the light is today, which we know what it is, but let's kind of present this thing. Does anybody care out there? I mean, men love darkness. They'd rather live in the darkness they have than light. Look at John chapter 12, verse 37. I don't mean to start out negative, although yes, I do. It seems to be a habit I have, but why not? Is there anybody else that wants this light? Look at John 12:37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. He did miracles in front of them. Do we ever think that if we walked downtown Tushy, both buildings, and did a miracle in front of the bar and the Grange, would people start coming to this church? Kind of a deal. Look at John chapter 1. I mean, he did miracles. He was that light. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And he went to his own, okay? We go out to so many, to people that call themselves Christians, and we bring up Paul, and we bring up the King James Bible, or rightly divided. They don't want that. See what I'm saying? It's the same thing. Jesus goes to his own people, not interested. We go to so-called Christians, not interested in the way of God more perfectly. Look at 2 Timothy 3:13. So 1 Corinthians 13:10 just doesn't seem to mean anything to people today. Even the Christians ought to get excited. But 2 Timothy 3:13 kind of tells us what we're dealing with here, and that is evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They'll deceive people with scholarship. They'll deceive people with righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Ministers of righteousness. They'll deceive people with philosophy, tradition. Well, we've done this since I was a little girl in this church. Baptist history, Methodist history, that type of a thing. Feelings. They seduce people with their feelings. Their own understanding. Nobody turns to scriptures anymore. It just doesn't matter. They just have their belief, and this is what we believe, and we know God loves me, so he would tell me otherwise. He would chastise me if I was wrong, and so they don't. So they go by their own understanding. And then, you know, Paul warns about another Jesus. Are they following another Jesus? Let's go to Psalm 119. Well, we know that Jesus was the light. We know that just kind of automatically type of a thing. So what are we getting at here tonight? Psalm 119, verse 105. Actually, the light forever has always been God's word. Look at 119, verse 105. This is Psalms. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And how did they get his word in the Old Testament? Either he spoke it, or through a prophet, minor or major, or whatever. So his word still was the lamp. Look at verse 130. Same chapter, verse 130. The entrance of thy what? words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So the light has always been God's words. So keep that in mind. In 1 Timothy 3:16, God manifests himself in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ. So sure, the light is Jesus. We know that. But what is Jesus putting forth? His Father's word. So even though Jesus is the light, as he says there, look at John chapter 1, even though Jesus is the light, it's still the word of God that's being lit through Jesus. Now, John chapter 1, verse 4 says something pretty interesting. You know, people aren't going to understand probably, I'm going to guess just for the sake of a number, 80% of the verses we go to that show people to follow Paul. But once you accept the fact that you need to rightly divide and follow Paul, there's a whole bunch of small verses that start making sense. Have you seen those at all? You see some things in there? Well, look at, there's one right there. We've read that a million times, never recognized that. This is one of them right here, John chapter 1, verse 4. John's in the book that we always used to give out to people. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So there's a reference to Jesus' life. So you pull that verse out and you say, well, let's follow Jesus' life. Well, that's Gospels. Well, that's what it was, though. Okay, so if a person accepts the fact that Jesus' life was the light of men, why wouldn't they just automatically jump to the risen life? He's the risen Savior. Why wouldn't they turn to the risen life as far as the life goes? Just a thought. Look at verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, this is referring to John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Okay, if it says right there that John the Baptist was not that light, why do people follow John the Baptist's teachings today, if he's not that light? That's baptism and that's what is it, the water baptism thing. Look at 2:32. Luke chapter 2, verse 32. Goes way back to the beginning, before he was even born as such, that Jesus was still going to be a light to the Gentiles, somehow, but it was going to be through the Jews. We've come to understand that, read that. Now look at this verse. Does this not tell ahead of time that there's the Gentiles and then there's the Jews? It says here, verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Okay, Jesus Christ comes to be their Messiah. Who's going to be the glory of this world? Obviously Jesus Christ, but the Jews. And while they're being the glory of this world, they will pass the light on of Jesus Christ to the world. That's a tremendously important verse before he's even born. Now, he's been born, he's just been brought to, I forget who the guy's talking to, Zechariah, Zalachi, one of those guys. Whatever that is, I forgot that. Look at chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus himself, I should have noticed that, Luke 2:32, but John 12:46. I am come a light into the world. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Okay, so sure, Jesus is the light. Look at verse 36, John 12:36. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them, which is another interesting thing to study sometime. Look at John chapter 9, verse 45. Here's an interesting statement. John chapter 9, verse 5. This is where Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay, where is Jesus? He's not in the world. He's in our hearts, he's in that type of thing, but he's gone. Okay, so the question is, if Jesus is gone now, because he says, as long as I am in the world, he's the light of the world. Somebody says, well, Jesus is the light of the world. Well, technically, yes. Real technically, God's words are. God's word is, but yeah, Jesus was the light of the world. But he was light of the world when he was down here. So now what? Is it still Jesus? Do we still go to where he said he was the light of the world, even though in that same time he says, if when I'm not here, you know, I'm not the light of the world as such. Okay, and if it's not Jesus, then who is it or what is it? Is there something different today? How about 2 Corinthians chapter 11? So, okay, so Jesus is telling us that when he's not here now, so he's not the light of the world technically down here on this earth. Okay, so who is? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 11:11 tells me who people think it might be, or think they could think it is him, when it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Okay, so if Jesus isn't here as the light of the world any longer, then here comes the devil as an angel of light, and people are going to fall for him because he's light. What? 2 Corinthians 11:14. What did I say? 11:11. 2 Corinthians 11:14. 2 Corinthians 11:14. I didn't print this on dark print. This thing is like hard to see tonight. 11:14. 2 Corinthians. That's what it says there. Yeah. Okay. Does that make sense? People think that Jesus is the light of this world. And technically, he's not, because he's not down here. So what is the light? Who is the light? Well, we know the devil is an angel of light, so he's going to trick a lot of people into thinking that that's Jesus. Could that be another Jesus that Paul warns about? Apparently so. Look at Galatians 1, verse 8. Galatians 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven, now we go to Revelation, that's changed because an angel does preach that in the tribulation era. But how about during Paul's time, the dispensation of grace? But though we, even him, if he preached anything different than what he's taught, or an angel from heaven, well, who would that be? Well, no. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Somebody who says, now remember we said, every cult, every religion that's out there has been started by some sort of a vision from an angel from heaven. Remember we did that study years ago. Every one of them was started by somebody having a vision, a he or a she. So, are we looking at this light today? Is it any of the Bibles that are out there? Are they all light of this world? Meaning, are they all God's words? Is it King James only Bible? Is it our works? Is the works that we have today, are the works that we have today the light of this world? Is the preaching, is the preacher the light of this world? Because nobody reads their Bible. If they try, they shouldn't say nobody, but few people read their Bible, don't study it, so they look to their preacher. Does that preacher actually, his light of the world, is that what we're looking at here? Look at back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We see in verse 15, right after Satan being transformed into an angel of light, he says in verse 15, if the devil can do this, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. And they're going to be ministering righteousness, good things. So they're going to be ministering people to do right things, to do good works and all that kind of stuff. And we know that good works won't get them to heaven, but are they the light for these people? How many of our friends and family have turned to the angel of light thinking that they have the light of this world, because everybody thinks that Jesus is the light of this world? Another one of those controversial sermons, I suppose, is Jesus the light of this world? No, because he's not down here. He himself said that. Okay, so who is? What is? Let's go here back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, the opening verse here. It says, "For ye are the light of the world." Okay, who's ye? Well, in this case, it would have to be the Jews. That's the context of all the Gospels. Luke 16:8 calls them the children of light. Look at Luke 16:8, because it puts it in a negative light, though. So we see that Jesus is not the light of the world technically on this earth. In all reality, he still is the light of this world, but he's not here. And really, God's Word is the light unto our path. That's the light of the world. But he's referring to here, ye are the light of the world, that's the Jews. Luke 16:8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's a frustration that I have, that we have, that even in myself, that I should be a lot wiser in all areas of my life than the lost person. But he says right here, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So he's talking there about his Jewish people. But still, Okay, let's just, we get right to the question, are we the light of the world? Because if Jews are set aside for now, and then he goes to the Gentiles through Paul and to the Church of God, actually the Gentiles wouldn't necessarily be the light, but it would be the Church of God. So is that the answer? Let's get right to the answer. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Well, you know that's the answer in some reform, because we wouldn't be doing this if it's going to show somewhere Paul's got something different to say than Jesus being the light of this world. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. And you know, if anybody's going to listen to this and hasn't heard anything we've talked about before, we've probably already lost them on the cassette or the CD or whatever by saying Jesus is not the light of this world. That's like saying we're not following Jesus, we're following Paul. You know how that sounds? We follow Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, but we're actually following Paul as he showed us how to do what we do because the risen Christ talked to Paul. So really, we're following Paul. And it says to follow Paul. But we're still following Jesus Christ, the risen. So here we are saying Jesus isn't the light of the world. And that's good. It's just going to click in all Christian circles. But, you know, try that at your next get-together. You know, did you know that Jesus isn't the light of the world? Are you from that church in Tushy? Well, he said when he's only when he's on the earth, when he's here. Well, who do you think the light of the world is? I am so glad you asked. Let me tell you. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light. Okay, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So yeah, Paul refers to the saved Gentiles, the church of God, as children of light. So that's okay. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Just from what we talked about Sunday morning, if somebody says that Jesus is the light of the world today, and you say to him, that's blasphemy, you know, that's just not gonna work. It should. And I'll show you what I mean here. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, okay, we were lost, but now, okay, ye are ye light in the Lord. That's interesting. Light in the Lord. Are we children of light? Well, it says, walk as children of light. Who are children of light? Those were God's people. So if we're going to walk as children of light, we must be light in the Lord. We must be getting our light from the Lord. Well, see, Jesus is the light of this world. See? Not quite. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Technically, of course he is. But down here on this earth, where do we turn to for the light? People are turning to an angel of light. They're not turning to the light. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless in heart and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Okay, so does that mean we are the light of the world? Or are we just shining as lights in the world? Romans 13:12, look at that one. Something we're supposed to put on. Are you cold? You feeling chilled? Okay. I can ask that with the suit not being here because I just know that it's always going to be cold. But I think I got, Marilyn, you said you were chilly? Mm-hmm. A little bit. Olivia, can you shut down the vent right by you? Is it open right there?
They're blocked off.
Well, they are blocked off, huh? Okay. Romans 13:12, let us cast the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Well, there we go, the armor of light. Well, we go to Ephesians 6, we know what the armor is, this type of a thing, but this is armor of light. Look at Galatians 3:27. Well, of course you know where we're going with this. Jesus Christ is our light because it's the risen Savior. That's the light through Paul and King James Bible, so you know where we're going with this. Yeah, but I want to show you some verses that are really quite interesting, actually, along this line. Galatians 3:27, for as many as you, many of you has have been baptized into Christ, there's not a water baptism, but that's what people will claim that one to be, have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So if we put on Christ and we're putting on the armor of light, see, Christ is the light. But down here, in this world, ye are the light of the world? No, what's the light of the world down here that people need to see? Look at Ephesians 24. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're just seeing the way of God more way of God more perfectly just work in the Scriptures here. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, remember that's put on Christ, remember that's the armor of light, and it says, the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we've been created in righteousness and true holiness because we put on Christ, the armor of light. Jesus is the light of the world, not now, but he's light. So, created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Talks about us having put on the new man. Okay, what's the new man? Christ, the armor of light. It's the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We've been created that way now. And it says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's God. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And yet Christ has always been in existence too. So that's, and he was the one that created. Lots of depth there that we don't dare touch tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Now there's a problem. This light that we need to find out what it specifically is seems to be not being seen by very many people. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in whom the god of this world, which would be the devil, we know that, hath blinded, well, so they can't see the light, the minds of them which believe not. Okay, so lest they, what? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So what's the light today? Is it Jesus Christ? Jesus is the light, like he says in John? No. Is it us? Is it like King James Bible, as we all say? What is it? It looks to me like it says the glorious gospel of Christ. That's what the devil is blinding people from seeing, is the gospel of Christ. We'll come back to that. Then it says, who is the image of God? The gospel of Christ is the image of God. So a quick little bunny trail here. The pictures that we see in our stores and our billfolds and in picture frames, you know, of Jesus, and you go into people's homes, everybody's got a picture of Jesus up somewhere. Is that the image of God? Is that what we see? Long hair, lipstick, femmy-looking, maybe he's a tough-looking Jew, maybe he's a real sweet-looking guy. I mean, is that what God looks like, the image of God? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. I believe, that the pictures of Jesus today are what the Antichrist will look like. People are expecting to see that by visual. Why is it that God said what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay. Then he says, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, which would be God or Jesus or anybody, or that is in the earth beneath, that'd be the demons or the devils or the devil himself, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. So that means we can have pictures of fish, but these are waters beneath the earth. This is a spiritual world he's talking about here. And he's telling us back in telling the Jews back in Deuteronomy, don't have any pictures up there. No images of this. It says, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So just picture this. Jesus knows who he is. God knows who he is. And he knows down here this whole world is being shown a picture that's not him. So when people are looking for the appearing of him, he knows they're not looking for what he looks like. They're not looking for him. It would be like, I suppose, if somebody knows that you're coming over for this get-together of some sort. Nobody's met you before, but everybody's been passing around a picture that says, here, this is you, but it's not of you. And then you show up at this gathering, and you say, who I am, and they go, that's not you. It's not you. Yes, it is me. No. Here's supposed to be you. And you came about a half hour ago. So who are you? You're the one that's the imposter, that kind of a thing. So when God says, I'm jealous I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I don't want you looking at these pictures thinking that that's me or that's my beloved, that's my only begotten son, because that's not true. So he told those people back in those days not to make images. Why? Well, look at Colossians 2:14. That's not a law that we have. If you've got a picture of Jesus up in your house, God isn't going to burn your house down, partly because of the no chastisement, but B, that law of Deuteronomy has been taken care of. Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So all that Old Testament law stuff has been taken care of. It's not an issue. In fact, we go back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy. We see some laws in there that we still abide by. They're good morals. They're good modesty verses. They're good nature verses as far as what's considered nature and what isn't. There's all sorts, but we don't do everything back in those laws either. You're not supposed to be bopping around the household in your PJs or pajamas because you're still not supposed to see each other within the family. There's all sorts of things in these laws that we still break all the time too. If you realize that God's mercy and grace is, they're not an issue. Good things to learn in there. So if that's not a law anymore, then what's the problem? Why is it a problem to have an image of Jesus around the house? Well, A, is that really what God looks like? And then B, look at Revelation 13. And these pictures are Jesus of everywhere. And if I remember our study right, I think it came up around the 1940s, this Unitarian drew this picture of Jesus, and that's what's always kind of stuck with everybody. I've got that study somewhere on the website, but it doesn't matter. Revelation 13, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So, is this going to be the image of the beast? This picture that we got of Jesus floating around everywhere? I mean, it's an image, image, image. And we're all just being programmed. This is why I hate images. Being programmed into images and pictures instead of words. Our kids grow up with videos and DVDs and that kind of stuff, and don't read and read and learn to read and read good and read good, they aren't going to get the truth. So God had a purpose for everybody not having an image of Christ or heaven or anything else, the spiritual images and things. So anyway, let's get back on the trail about there, 2 Corinthians. It says, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what's the light? The glorious gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Now, here's a shocker verse. Look at Acts 13. Go to Acts chapter 13. So the glorious, the gospel of Christ. Acts 13, verse 47. This is why people think that we're so radical. This is what the Bible says. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. This is Acts 13. This is Paul's stuff. That thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. There's Paul's mission to the ends of the earth. Look at 26:18. You know this verse, chapter 26:18. You know, if you want, you could say to people, Acts 13:47, yeah, Paul's our light, so is Barnabas. Who's the light of this world? Barnabas, because he's part of Paul right in that little series right there. He's talking to Paul and the people that he has teaching. Anyway, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So sure, Paul's teachings, the risen Savior, is going to still be the light. So yes, Jesus Christ technically is still the light of this world, but he's not down here, so it's the gospel of Christ. That's the light of this world. Devil, that's what people don't want to get. That's what the devil does not want people to get, the gospel of Christ. And they will hear the gospel of Christ only from Paul. So Paul's the light. The gospel of Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is the light. But they're only going to get it on this earth through Paul. So there's your light. Okay, we can go home now. No, there's some more good things coming up here. Now we go back to Matthew 5 again, the beginning verse, Matthew 5, verse 15. So it's the gospel of Christ. It's the risen Savior. It's what he's taught to Paul. That's what we have in our King James Bible. So we still see that the Word of God is still the light. King James Bible, rightly divided, Paul, gospel of Christ, Christ is the risen Jesus. That's the light. Now, verse 15, this is a common sense verse here. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Okay, so we've got a light, electrical, Louis back at the farm, and he's knocking out another light pole, and the lights go out here at night again like we did this a couple years ago, and everything just goes blank. And Austin whips out his flashlight. He's like, you got a flashlight with you tonight? Your phone, right. You got one of those, whatever that thing is, a flashlight. You got a flashlight, Sam? See, we're prepared. You got a flashlight, LD? Why would you need one? We got guys right here. Okay, so the lights goes out, poof, and we went, Louis's not here. We know who caused that. And so Sam and Austin get out their flashlight, and they light it up, and they cover it with their hand. Brilliant. They're just brilliant, Austin and Sam. I mean, I'm impressed. You must be homeschooled. Can you see? You know. Well, that's how dumb. I mean, this is what the verse says. Neither do men light a candle put under a bushel, but on a candlestick. So here's the glorious, here's the gospel of Christ that the devil's trying to hide. He's trying to keep people from seeing that light. And the real light, the old light, I hate to use the word old, the original light was God and his word, God's word. Manifest himself into this earth, in the flesh, Jesus. He says he's the light of this world. While I'm down here in this earth, I'm the light of this world. Poof, he's gone. Where'd the light go? Well, gospel of Christ, risen Savior. Paul was given all that. King James Bible, but it has to be rightly divided or you get all mixed up. Why would we want to hide that? Sam, why would you want to hide the flashlight? What are you thinking? Austin, just to be mean or what? You want to hear me go, oh, that's the pastor. He ran into the pulpit. He can't see it. Well, Sam, show him the light. No, you show him the light. No, this is great. Oh, this is great. Hey, boom, 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 boom. Now he falls down the steps. This is hilarious. This is great. You know, Olivia, you can't laugh because you have a panel lesson Monday. You'd be good. This is how silly it is. Look at verse 16. And I am sure, let your light so shine, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, is that the light that we're supposed to shine today? Here we are back to Matthew again. Now, we're going back to this thing. Is the light that we're supposed to be showing good works? Well, we already said it's the gospel of Christ, okay? But is it the works that they need to see? Because in their Jewish day, yes, it was their works people needed to see. Because they're going to follow Christ. They're going to follow Jesus. They're going to follow his teachings. They're going to do what he did. Follow his footsteps as such. So yeah, that's what they're talking about. Well, sure, see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Sure. But now if we do the works that are taught in the Gospels, does that glorify God? Well, of course it must, because it was what Jesus did. And of course you folks can do the same thing that Jesus did, so that's going to give God glory. That's why in verse, Matthew 5, that's why in verse chapter 5, verse 13, we tell somebody, listen, if you've lost your Savior as a Christian, then don't be surprised if God says, hey, you're just a good-for-nothing Christian, and get thumpered down by the world, and God shuts you down. Well, does that please God to preach that? Because that's not supposed to be preached to us. That isn't how God takes care of us at all. That's totally opposite to what Paul preaches as far as the grace and mercy of God. So are we going to go back and do the good works? It says right there, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Again, that's Jewish. That's not to us. Okay? Look at Romans 15:29. What is it again? We said it's the gospel of Christ. Devil gave that away. That's what he's not letting people see, is the gospel of Christ. Well, Romans 15:29, Paul, of course, he says, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." So we go through some verses here, which are online in the notes. Romans 16, Paul talks about his gospel. You know what Paul's gospel is? It's the gospel of Christ. He says in that verse, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So the gospel of Christ is the risen Christ teachings through Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:17, to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, it's the cross of Christ. They always preach about the cross of Christ, but what took place on the cross? Sure, he was tortured, and yes, he died, but what else includes in his cross activity? He was risen. They forget that part, that he was risen. So why wouldn't they want to go to the risen teachings? We talk about that all the time. We see in Thessalonians, he talks about the gospel of Christ. So Paul preaches the gospel of Christ. I mean, those are the words. And what does the devil not want people to have? The light of the gospel of Christ. So what is it that the devil doesn't want people to hear? The preachings of Paul. And they'll go to Matthew, and they'll get people to think that Jesus is the light of the world, and follow Jesus, go back into the Gospels, and they're being taught this by ministers of righteousness, which are the devil's ministers. What's the surprise? If Jesus is gone as the light of this world, the angel of light is down here. Ta-da, that's who they're following. That just fits into place. But then we read this verse about, you know, why would you want to hide that? Well, look at Romans 1:16. Do we ever go someplace with a flashlight and the lights go out and we don't ever turn it on? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says. Well, maybe we are sometimes. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, sure, and they shut that down, and also to the Greek. So now a Jew can still get saved from the gospel of Christ, but they're not interested. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. Now, we won't take the time to do the whole context of this thing, but are we ashamed? Is that how we hide the gospel of light? The gospel of Christ, the light of the gospel of Christ, the light that Paul puts forth? Because we're ashamed of it? Are we afraid to tell somebody something? Why we do what we do? Because this is what the risen Savior says? Or whatever? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? So there's a whole thing about the apostles' power, Paul's power and everything. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And if you're interested in how you can hinder the gospel of Christ in this manner, as a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or whatever, or as a parent or whatever, it can be done. We're hiding the gospel of Christ as a light under the bushel. We're hindering it with our testimony. Look at Galatians chapter 1. That's worth a bunch of verses you can read on that one. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. What can people do to the gospel of Christ? They can pervert it. Verse 7, which is not another, cause another gospel there in verse 6. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And unfortunately, over the years, people are no longer troubled by the perverted gospel. We used to have Bible studies all the time in our home, and people would come over for the first time, and they hear all the different verses, how they changed them, and they just couldn't get over that sort of a thing. How could they do that? And now, who cares? I mean, they're not even troubled by the perverted gospel today. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, these are just ways we can hide this light under that bushel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. I guess, again, the context is vengeance from God, etc., etc., when he comes back, but he's talking about those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is that going back to the Gospels? No, it doesn't have a capital G there. So it's not the four Gospels. It's not the teachings of Jesus. It's the teachings of the risen, because that's the Lord Jesus Christ, small g, Gospel of Christ, what Paul teaches. There it is again. Look at verse, go back to Matthew 5. Let's continue. What have we read so far? We read, you're the light of the world. We know who he's talking about then. The city that is on a hill cannot be hid. Okay? So the gospel of Christ should not be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put on a bushel, but on a candlestick, give his light to all them that are in the house. That's the gospel of Christ through Paul. King James Bible, rightly divided. Now he says here in verse 16, neither do men light a candle. That's 15. We go to 16 here. And we see, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. We've talked about that. Now, what is it that they should see? We're not going to hide under a bushel, so what is it that they should see? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. What should the men of darkness, the people of darkness out there, your friends and family that are caught up with an angel of light, or following ministers of righteousness, or preaching a false gospel through blaspheming the truth, what should they see in us? Should they see the gospel teachings? The Beatitudes and that type of a thing. Romans 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness. You know why they go back to the gospels? To establish their own righteousness. Well, that's God's righteousness. No, not really. This is what Jesus told them to do. So they have to go out and do these things according to the teachings of the Great Commission. And if they do those things, they'll get God's blessings. And if they don't, they'll get God's chastisement, unless, of course, they confess. And you hear this every time we talk about this. So they're really still depending upon their righteousness. Okay, let's say that they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't mean commit their life or give their life to Jesus. I mean actually put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And then they go back and they start doing again to maintain fellowship, as some preacher tells them, or maintain their salvation. They're still trying to base everything on their righteousness. So do people need to see us obeying Jesus' teachings of how our righteousness should be? Well, no. Just based on that verse right there. People are trying to establish their own righteousness. And we know Romans chapter verse 4, I think it says right there, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He got rid of the law. So what do people need to see? Well, we know the classic verse, Philippians what? Close. Well, a part of it, the big verse is 4:9. These things that you've seen in me, learn, do, that type of thing. That's what they need to see. Well, what is that? Why is that any different than Jesus' teachings? Well, because what Paul teaches, look at Galatians chapter 2. Paul doesn't just give us the list of do's and don'ts. He tells us things that we should do that pleases God, but he's first to tell us all things are lawful. So look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, and here's something I want you to... We still have to work this one. This is the hard one. This is the manner of life. This is the tough one. We are so gospel-trained by the do's and don't list, Jesus' teachings as such, Levitical law in some areas as well, or Psalms, or something. Galatians 2:9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas. By the way, that is grammatically incorrect. Me and Barnabas. I can't believe that's in there. You know, me and Barnabas, you know, oh well, girls, kids. They gave to me, you pause this, I get over this, parents. You pause, and Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship. So what did they see in Paul? Did they see a whole list of, because they know who Paul was, they must have seen something different in Paul. Grace. That's what it says. When they perceived the grace that was given unto me. Well, now you got to do some thinking. Was he just Mr. Lovey-Dovey? Hi-ho, you look nice and good to see you and love you and hug, hug, hug and all that kind of stuff. Or what was it that Paul had that they perceived grace in him? Well, what was he before? He was a Christian killer. And apparently they perceived the fact that he wasn't going to kill him. That's a good clue, you know. Or what was it that Paul had in that grace? Now, what does Paul say? He teaches grace with salt. He teaches grace and truth. So apparently this grace that they perceived with Paul was something that made them realize he's okay. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Somebody comes up to you and what do they see? The gospel of Christ. Okay, what is that? You know, when people come up to you and they flash their Christianity, most of them are flashing their great commission works that they think they're so good at. In some cases, they probably are. But is that what... It's become folly. We recognize that. Because when they don't do it, nothing happens. Or something happens and they haven't changed their walk. So it's just all empty, like that one guy wrote. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:9. It says right here, "For they themselves show of us what mannering of entering in we had unto you." So they saw these guys and they said, "Listen, you don't have to say anything. We've already seen the change in your life. Is it just because you're doing the good works?" Well, it's good works in the Gospels too. But he says here, "How ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Now that would have to be something you can just meditate on yourself. What does that mean in your life? When you turn from your idols, you might always be dressed right, talk right, eat right, da-da-da-da, right, all that stuff, but you still have an idol that you follow or whatever. I don't know. What is it that people will see in you that you're not hiding that represents the gospel of Christ? The risen Savior. Paul's teachings, King James Bible, rightly divided. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. So sure, back in the Jewish day when he says, "For your light, let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works," it's not the good works that we need to portray as our light. We need to put forth the gospel of Christ. And what has that changed in your life as far as worshiping idols, etc., etc.? Now, Titus chapter 2, verse 14, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So it isn't just good works. Of course, the gospel of Christ is good works. But it's not looked upon as good works. Because what Paul preaches is not just good works. He preaches good works as a result. What is it that Paul preaches? Paul preaches a joy, a strength. He preaches grace in our lives. He preaches wisdom. He shows us how to have peace. He shows us how to, when we're trying to live the life that Paul teaches us to serve Christ, there's something different about us as we try, because we all trip and stumble. And he tells us how to judge good things and wrong things, what's approvable unto God. He wants us to grow up and make those kind of choices. Maybe that's some of the things that Paul, that the glorious gospel of Christ shows up in our lives. Is it because it's a good work? No, it's because we made a judgment that was proper as compared to the good work itself. You see what I'm saying? It's a manner of life. There's good works in there, but there's something different about it. There's a peace and a joy when you're doing right. It's not the fact that you're doing right. Paul is the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Now remember, I always am afraid to talk about grace because people just think grace is just putting up with everything. Tolerance. You've heard that in the news lately, you know, about tolerating this. We're supposed to tolerate them, but they can't tolerate our belief for a second. Why? What's the deal? Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." There you are. I mean, the gospel of Christ. Okay, what is the gospel of Christ? What is the risen Savior's gospel? What Paul teaches. What does Paul teach? It isn't just do, it's be. It's a manner of life. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries," which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation when you get hassled, and that of God. So there's not just a list of things that we can say that people need to see in our day-to-day life. But what we're learning to do as a Christian should be the, should represent what Christ has taught to Paul to teach to us, which includes a joy and a peace and a hope and grace and strength. It should include reproof, should include rebuking, it should include avoiding. I mean, all those things that Paul says we need to do, that's the gospel of Christ. We're learning the gospel of Christ here. That's the light of this world. And the devil doesn't want people to see what Paul's teachings of a rightly divided King James Bible has done to you. In your personal private life or your public life, the devil does not want somebody else to see that. That's the gospel of Christ. That's the light of this world. Sure, Jesus is the light. God's Word is the light. King James Bible is the light. Paul's the light. But the gospel of the risen Savior is the light that this world needs to see, and they're not getting it because the devil blinds them to it. So like I said at the very beginning, what's the point? Well, we're just supposed to do what we can to please God in our personal lives. And hopefully they'll see those changes in your life.